Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, I want to share a reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. Our staff, we have about 27 staff or so here, especially with some summer interns who are working with our young people. And we gather every 2 weeks, and one of the things we do when we come together is we just read through the Bible. And we didn't start at Genesis, but we just been working with different letters from the New Testament. Now, the things we're currently reading, the Acts of the Apostles. And I have to say, I mean, just a few months back, we just went through the whole Easter season and Pentecost and all the rest and spent a lot of time in the Acts of the Apostles, and it is so rich. But we were reading through chapter 3, and I was just staggered by what's revealed there. And I thought I would share it with you today just to share, you know, God's word is living and active. And it's one of the things that you see when you just take time together to open the heart and place our minds, focusing our minds on the word of God and actually asking the question, what are these words saying? What are they saying to us? Because it's easy to kind of read through things fast, relatively quickly, thinking, especially in the New Testament, well, we've heard a lot of this already before. But number one, I love to remind myself, but also friends, what Pope Benedict XVI said about the way to read the Word of God to really be able to get its power, the working of the Spirit. The words that were given in the Bible are animated by the Spirit of God, and they have power, right? That's why Hebrews tells us, you know, God's Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate down to the very core of our being, number one. But also the Holy Spirit, I think, at least this is my experience, that passages I've read again and again and have harvested things from, all of a sudden I'm reading it for the umpteenth time and something brand new comes out of it, a living word, or something strikes me in a completely different way. That's what happened last week when we were reading through the Acts together as a team. And chapter 3 of Acts, the situation is Peter is going to the temple, Peter and John, and they meet the crippled man at the beautiful gate, a man who's been there for years and years. Everybody knows him. He's there to receive alms. And Peter comes by, and John, and he reaches out, and essentially Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I give you, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter said, I don't have money to give you, but I do know what I have. And then I have the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ risen, living within me, and I've been commissioned. I mean, all the reality, what Peter knows about what Pentecost has released in him and the authority that Jesus has given him and the awareness of how powerful the ministry of Jesus is going to continue in Peter's life and the life of the apostles. That's one thing. But the second thing is he's at the temple. He's about to enter into the temple, and this is the center of everything for the Jewish world. I mean, it's the center of the cosmos for them. And then you have all these Jewish men who are there. People from all over the world come at different times. It's packed. This is the same place where the drama of Jesus's ministry culminated with his arrest and being before the Sanhedrin and all the rest of it. And then, as I mentioned a few months ago, or a month and a half ago or so for Easter, Peter's human weakness is revealed there, his fear, his self-concern, his self-protection, and he ends up denying Jesus, knowing Jesus three times. We all know that. But the Holy Spirit is now leading Peter right into the center of where it all happened. And again, there's big crowds, lots of people. Folks probably remember Peter. Some of them remember Peter from the whole drama that took place. And he's there, and this moment comes where, you know, these signs, Jesus said, will accompany those who believe. And they're accompanying Peter. And Peter heals the man through the grace and power and working of the Holy Spirit in him. And it's a sign. It's a sign and a wonder. And now this sign and wonder is going to be the doorway through which, or the opportunity through which Peter now is going to be able to speak to everybody in the temple. Because this man, who everyone knows and who was crippled for such a long time, he's healed and he jumps up, he's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God, and there's a buzz that goes through. Tell what happened to this guy? How did this happen? And then they start gathering around Peter and John. And so Peter uses the moment to interpret for them the meaning of why it was even possible that this man could be healed and who it was who actually healed him. They're a little confused at first, thinking that it was all about Peter. But I'll just read this section, the second half of that section. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They were astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? By the way, they ran to find out what was going on. Isn't it interesting? The electricity that went through the place. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us as though by our power or piety we had made him walk? Right? So Peter's like you and me. We forget this because Peter is so unique, you know, as the first pope and at the core, really at the heart of that relationship with Jesus. And he was given so much responsibility by the Lord to think that somehow he's just completely different than us. But Peter is communicating to them, wait a minute, it wasn't me. And then he goes on to say, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers. So he's talking to his brothers and sisters there, his Jewish brothers and sisters. He said, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. And this is the set of passages that really hit me hard last week when we were reading it together. Whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. Now imagine, I mean, that's a hard word for people to hear, right? He's accusing them of what they actually did. Pilate wanted to release him, but you delivered him up and you denied him. He goes on in verse 14, but you denied, he tells them, who did they deny? You denied the holy and righteous one. And you ask for a murderer to be granted to you. And verse 15, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. And to this we are witnesses. There's just a lot packed in here. You know, Peter is now living what Jesus said was going to happen to him, both Peter and John there in the temple. Because in Luke's gospel, there's the account where the resurrection appearance where Jesus is telling the apostles, he's interpreting what happened. You know, that his crucifixion was not an accident. It was exactly what was proclaimed and anticipated through the prophets, and Jesus was fulfilling what the Messiah had to do. And so he said, now, for this reason, it all happened. He says, you're my witnesses. You witnessed what happened. And now what this is all about, Jesus has come to save people from sin and give them eternal life. And he said, you're going to go and testify that you saw me and that I rose from the dead and declare to people who I am. And then you're going to call them to repentance, to baptism, to salvation, which Peter did, you know, in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. But think about it. Peter's saying people probably thought, because Jesus made so much of a commotion, so to speak, the drama around his crucifixion was news. And probably after, people were wondering, what was that all about? So this is the moment, one of the key moments that the Lord arranged for Peter to be able to help answer that question for people. What happened when that man died? Who was he? Peter said, he is the author of life. You killed the author of life, but God raised him, and we are witnesses. This is the central proclamation, friends, of the gospel. This is the central message of the Christian people. God came in human flesh, literally the author of life, the one through whom all things were made, for whom all things were made. He took on human flesh. And so these people are ready, some of them are ready anyway, to hear now this gospel. And what provokes the moment is the sign and the wonder, is the manifestation of the presence of the kingdom. And because God did this working through Peter and John, Peter and John who were together, they came to them and said, but essentially, who are you? What is this? What happened? That's why signs and wonders are meant to continue in the life of the church until the Lord returns. It's very clear in the New Testament. We know the saints and the lives of the saints. We've seen much of it in the church, but it's not limited just to the saints. It should be happening in parishes and towns, and generally it happens. In my experience, I've seen it, the places I've seen it the most is when we're actually communicating the gospel to people who don't know the Lord very well in various missions that we've done around the world. But that's another thought for another day. But verse 15 again, and who died on that cross and how did he die? It was the author of life. You killed him. Now that's a pretty intense thing to say in a temple packed with very devout Jewish men and women, but particular Jewish men. You killed him, but God raised him. He's alive. Here's the central proclamation. This is the reality. Everything bursts forth from the tomb, from the resurrection, the whole now of power that was released of the kingdom that overcame death and darkness and the works of the devil and the flesh. And it's now at work. And he said, and we're here to testify. That's what this is all about. And then he goes on to say, and in his name, and by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Within a matter of moments, he was restored to perfect health. And so Peter's answering, you really want to know what's behind and what's made this happen to this man you've known for years? In an instant, he was transformed. It happened through the name. There's no other name by heaven and earth that it could happen. It came through his name, by faith in his name. That's interesting. I think both faith in Peter and John, but also faith in the man. Right? Peter knew. Peter, he believed. Remember what he said. Silver and gold have I none, but I give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. So Peter's exercising faith. He's confident. He trusts the word of the Lord. He knows the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. He's leaning into the timidity's gone, the fear is gone, the insecurities are gone, the anger is gone that Peter once had. And now he's leaning into the Lord. He's trusting everything the Lord told him he would do. And he's now walking in the footsteps and saying the things the Lord wants him to say. He's leaning on God. You spell faith this way, R-I-S-K. He's leaning on God in such a way that if the Lord, if this wasn't true, he'd fall flat on his face, but he's absolutely trusting all of it. And then he goes on to say, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ should suffer and thus fulfilled. He said, so how do they respond? What does he call them to do? He said, repent. Turn again that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. He calls them to repent, to change the direction of their life. What a rich reading. Let's take it to heart, friends, and walk in the footsteps of the apostles. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.